Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, I want you to participate with this show no matter where you in the world you are listening, no matter how you're listening. You could participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Today, we're going to do part two. The other day, I did part one. It's called Masters and Preachers and Gurus. Oh, my. And we talked about the self-help industry, the spiritual industry. We talked about religion and churches, and we talked about all these things, an honest conversation, and the feedback was incredible. I knew I was going to receive a lot of feedback, and I was not wrong, and I want to dedicate an entire show to that feedback. So let's talk about it. Let's keep the continue the conversation going. So it's so rare that we could have an open conversation about this, a conversation that isn't laced with anger, it isn't laced with agenda, but instead an open conversation about this. I absolutely love it. Some people are angry, some people are thanking me. I love that stuff. As long as we're talking about it, let's keep talking about it. First, before we get to that, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Get out there and participate. Remember the power of one. Regardless of what your religious beliefs are, what your philosophy is, whether it doesn't matter. What's true is that we're all on the same team and we're in this together. We are here together, and let's participate not only in our own journey but in the journey of those around us. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. And I find that's the simplest and most effective way to get out there and participate. So never forget that power of one. Let's get to the show. You know, the last show called Masters and Preachers and Gurus, oh my, I talked about the growing section of the bookstore that's the atheism section, and we talked about the marketing plans and not about so much a spiritual awakening, but a human awakening, recognizing your power, the power of the human potential, what that means as far as your success, what that means as far as your happiness, what that means as far as your relationships. And wow, did I get some feedback. I feel so honored to get this kind of feedback, for people to share in these ideas and to have this conversation. So let's get to it. We'll start with Joseph who writes in and writes, Steve, your shows are often powerful and impactful. I have to depart with your opinion. However, on this show, I feel that your relationship with God is hugely important, and I do think that biblical teaching shows the importance of hope and many, many great things. And it seems to me that you do not share in that. I would love for an elaboration on what role you think that Bible and other spiritual texts can possibly hold. Thank you for otherwise empowering and great shows. You know what, Joseph? Here's the thing. I think, and I've said this for years, that I don't think that the – well, you talked about the Bible, so let's go specifically with the Bible. And this, what I'm about to say really does apply to to every other spiritual text. It's not necessarily a book. I don't believe that they are a book of stories to be believed, but instead a book of messages to be received. You're right. There are some incredible stories in there, some stories of empowerment, of hope, of inspiration, of spiritual connectivity, of humanity, the potentiality. There are some incredible stories in there. I agree with you 100%. But there's also some really nasty things in there. You know what's interesting, Joseph, is how few people actually know what they're talking about. Especially when you talk about religion and biblical teachings, and people want to quote the Bibles, but you know what? They just know those quotes. They don't know the context of that quote. They don't know the any other books. They know the more popular ones. I brought up during the show. I brought up that one. For those of us who have been to a million weddings, or even if you've just been to a few, you're familiar with Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it's beautiful what he's saying. That verse is beautiful. What most people don't know is that later in that same letter, Paul continues his conversation about the role of women, not only in the church, but in the society. And Joseph, I don't know that there's anyone listening to this show who would agree with that. It's not a modern day way of thinking. Do you believe that women are less human, that they shouldn't learn, that they shouldn't speak in public? I don't think that you believe that, Joseph. I know I don't believe that. I believe the opposite. I think that history shows us that the degree of society advances in the sciences and in the compassion and in education, I believe it advances the more you empower women. Not the less you empower them. So I don't think that. I don't think that. I think women should learn everything they should learn. And if you want to be a teacher, be a teacher. And if you want to be a preacher, be a preacher. And that's what I believe. I think that. But at the time when the Apostle Paul was writing this letter, I'm sure that made sense. I'm sure that made sense. And in his day, he would have been somewhat of a guru, I guess, a guru. But I think that's outdated information. And the point I try to make with that biblical stuff, and you know, there's hundreds of horrific stories in the Bible, from rape to incest to drunkenness to murder to mass murder to genocide. You'll find all of that in the biblical teachings. All of it. And it was written by, desert nomads, some people who were quite literate and quite educated, and other people who weren't, who were the opposite, were neither literate nor educated. And it's been translated so many times. It's folkloric stories that of messages of empowerment, some messages of fear and control. That's just what it is. That's just what it is. And I don't think that there's a problem when you do pick out those messages, when you do pick out those stories. Jesus is surrounded by tons of stories, tons of fantastic stories, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. You find incredible stories of morality. And I think it's great when you pick those out. And if those are the backbone of your moral living, then let it be the backbone of your moral living. The problem happens when you try to make it something historic and then force it on other people. That's the issue. That's why we're having these conversations today about, oh my God, can we believe that a woman might be vice president? These are all silly stories. The reason, look at our calendar. Look what year it is. We should be past the idea of, oh my God, there might be a woman vice president. But the reason we're not is because of those very teachings. Because for hundreds, maybe over 1,000 years, women have been subject victims of ignorant teachings from biblical scholars, because it says so in the Bible. There have been results of genocide. There have been tons and tons of negative things happen because of that. 100% of any death threat I get after doing shows like these, 100% of any death threat has some sort of biblical scripture written on it. And Joseph, I'm not a bad guy at all. I venture to say, and I'm writing anybody, any of the Christians who write in and vehemently disapprove of my handling of what I consider the Bible and how I consider it poetry instead of history. I would love to tell all of them. You could hate me all you want, but I'm going to tell you something. The Jesus whose works you study would probably like what I'm doing a little bit better than what you're doing, because I'm out there helping. I'm out there sharing. I'm out there communicating. I'm out there. I'm sacrificing my own finances. I'm sacrificing my time. I'm out there participating for the good of humanity. I'm not out there threatening anybody's life. I'm not threatening them if they disagree with me. I'm not wishing ill on their families. I'm not saying any nasty stuff. I'm out there participating. Why aren't you? The time it takes you to write those emails, to write those very unchristian emails, you could have helped somebody else. Instead, you write an email to somebody who couldn't care less what you have to say. If you're insulting my life or threatening my life or threatening my friends or family, whatever, I'm not interested in a spirit or intellect that breeds that kind of nastiness, fear. That's not interesting to me. So you can spend all this time writing an email that I'll read because I'm courteous, but I don't put any time or thought to it afterwards. You're better off going out there and helping somebody else, helping somebody, putting something positive in this world. I think that's what this is about. But Joseph, I'm sorry you disagree with me, brother, but that's my stance. I think that it's a beautiful book of poetry and stories of the human and spiritual experience of people's attempts to describe that God who, even for me, to this day, has an elusive, so elusive to find a pinpoint accurate description. And this was their attempt at it. And in many ways, a beautiful poetic attempt, and in some ways, a disgusting and horrible attempt. That's the way that I look at it. And having read it back and forth and studied it back and forth, I'm going to go ahead and stick with that opinion. But thank you so much for listening to the show. I appreciate that even though you disagree with me on this topic, that you're still able to listen to the show and see it for the empowering messages it does have. And thank you so much. Let's keep going with some more feedback. Feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. We're talking about the show Masters and Preachers and Gurus. Oh, my. And the feedback had to do with that. I had a feedback from our good friend Elizabeth in Australia who wrote, hey, most of the guru types are successful thanks to well-oiled publicity machines of their publishers. And it appears that some of them get caught up in their own publicity as a result, and they seem to change. They start to act like know-it-all spiritual superstars. With your popularity growing and the success of your current books, how on earth do you manage to stay so grounded? And thank you so much for your question. You know, you're absolutely right, and this is one of the best things that ever happened to me was this show, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because I was reading all those gurus' books too, and I found them fascinating, and I found them intriguing, and I found them empowering and inspiring, and I would feel like my life absolutely changed, and in many ways it didn't, and you feel like you have a better grasp and a better understanding, and it was great. It was great. So I got caught up in that too. And what was happening to me was what's happening to many of you who you read this stuff and it feels good and it feels great and you can't wait till their next book, but your life itself on the outside isn't changing any. You're able to cope better with what's happening on the outside because your inside's getting touchy-feely and you're feeling the light and the oneness, but the outside isn't changing any. And you get frustrated and eventually, but this show was a blessing to me, Elizabeth, in the sense that I got to meet some of these gurus. I got to meet them on the show, some on the show, and many of them off the show, some of them who I haven't had on the show. And don't think it's an accident that I haven't had them on the show. As this show gained popularity, this became the go-to show. But there are some who I won't have on because I've met a lot of them. Most of them, I'd say, most of the big ones I've met. And they're playing a character. And maybe when they started, they were authentically being in touch with this, whatever it is that they're in touch with. But there's very few of them who, after meeting them, I would want to share an actual conversation with them, because I see that they're playing a role. It's like night and day. I mean, when I turn off this microphone, I'm the same guy you're listening to right now. I am the exact same guy. You call me on the phone, you send me an email, you see me outside in the street, you will hear the same guy saying the same stuff. I am who I am. There is no off switch to me. This is what I like to talk about. This is what I enjoy. If I'm sitting at the pizza place and someone engages me in conversation, it's going to go to potentiality, the brain, mind, spirituality. It's going to go to that. That's what I talk about. That's what I love. This is who you're listening to. For most of those people, that wasn't the case. And I thought that it was, but it wasn't. I liken most of them to just used, like the stereotypical used car salesman type. And they were just selling something, and they're always looking at strategies and trends and how can I rope in more people and how could I get more money? Because what happens, Elizabeth, is that you become dependent on them, and also they are dependent on you. They are dependent on you. But what's different about the relationship is that they are dependent on you needing them. They're dependent on you needing them. They are dependent that you go buy their book because you need their book. So it doesn't benefit them that you realize that you're not broken. Because they are who you go to for the fix. If you realize you're not broken, you're not going to look to somebody else to help fix you. So they empower you enough to love your brokenness, to love what's happening out there, to love it, but not to recognize that you're not broken. They'll say, love your brokenness, instead of saying you're not broken. You're not broken. They want you to stay needy because that's how they live. The reason I'm able to stay grounded, Elizabeth, is because this isn't what I do for a living. This isn't what I do for a living. So I don't need you to think I'm some sort of spiritual guru. I don't have to be mysterious. And I don't have to be gimmicky. I don't have to do any of that. I don't need you to need me. I just want to share what I've learned. That's all I want to do. And I share it, and people appreciate it. And some people appreciate it, and they get kind of lost in the feelings and stuff, and so they'll say some very flattering things about me. But Elizabeth, I live a regular, very regular life. I live a very regular life. Being a guru is not going to get me a mansion. I don't want a mansion from being a guru. I don't want a mansion from being someone's spiritual source of power. I don't want any of that. I just want to help my brothers and sisters who are around this world. I want to laugh. I want to enjoy surroundings of friends. And the friends who I surround myself, Elizabeth, are people who are like that as well. They don't take themselves so seriously. They don't consider themselves better than anybody else. We're all just on the same team. And I think that it's important who you surround yourself with and how you are. And that's something I think gets lost in those gurus. They start hanging out with other gurus, and they start, you know, brainstorming with other gurus, and they hang out with their publishing people, and they hang out with people that just kiss their ass all day long. I don't do that. I don't do that. I've met so many people who do that, and I've never seen anything good come out of it. So I don't want to do that. I want people who appreciate who I am, like I appreciate who they are, but I want them to be just normal with me and not lose my sense of appreciation or think I'm stronger than they are. There are some gurus out there. There's one in particular who is famously mean, famously nasty, famously belittling. And this guru, you read their books. I'm going to do my best to not word this in any way that you would even know if it's a man or a woman. So they write their books. You read their books, and you think, wow, what a spiritual person, amazing, enlightened, a gift of light. And they you think that this person would be just almost holy to be around, just an incredible spiritual presence. And from reading their books, you would get that impression. And I would say most people have that impression of this person. But the people who know them personally have nothing good to say about them. This person has been through over a dozen personal assistants. The personal assistants that are no longer with them will tell you they are nasty, berating, belittling, mean, vicious. And then the spotlight comes on and they're like, oh, spiritual oneness. And I have seen that time and time again. This person in particular is within the industry famous for it. But I've seen variations of that with numerous people. So Elizabeth, watching that, I know that I don't want that. That's why I've never stepped in to the industry officially. I kind of got voted in because the stuff I do talk about is empowering, it's inspiring, it's spiritual, it's human, so you get lumped into that self-help personal growth industry. But I've never signed a contract that would put me into it. I've never volunteered to be a part of it in that way. I haven't done it. And the places that I do, you know, like this, if I go to a spiritual expo, it is very clear from the second I open my mouth, the second I'm done talking, that I do not consider myself amongst that group. So I keep myself grounded by remembering that, yeah, I think that I have a unique gift in this world. But at the same time, I remember that so does everybody else. And while I might be great at some things when someone else might not be, they're going to be great at something that I'm not. So, so that's how I do it. And again, it's the environment you want to create. I like to keep a grounded environment. So I hang out with grounded, with people who are grounded and people who inspire me to be the best version of myself, not the best version of what other people think I am. And I think that's the key. If you could hang out with people who you could be the best version of yourself without playing a character and a role, that's the best way to stay grounded. So that's what I'm thinking. Thank you. Let's keep going with more feedback. Feedback at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Let's go with Maria. Maria is in Texas, and Maria writes, "Steve, thank you so much for being so honest on your show. Can you please talk about the power of prayer? I'm a bit confused. You talk about the Global Prayer Project, you talk about prayer, but at the same time, it sometimes sounds like you dismiss its power. Could you please talk about it more? Would love to give you a hug in person when you come to Texas. Hey, thanks so much, Maria. If I come to Texas, first of all, to anyone who ever says, hey, Steve, you know, when are you coming to wherever? Where are you coming to wherever? Here's the thing. I don't call bookstores. I don't call libraries. I don't call events and say, hey, can I come speak there? I don't do that. So if you want me to be in your neighborhood, in your city, in your state, you make that happen. You call your local events and say, hey, there's a guy I listen to on the radio, a guy whose books I read, whatever, bring him here. And let them know that that I travel. Again, this is not what I do for a living. So most places that I go speak are surprised to hear that that I don't charge a ridiculous speaker's fee like all these gurus do. I don't. Just give me a microphone and a bottle of water and get out of my way because I'm about to bring a real message. That's how I do. So if you want me in your state, if you want me in at your event, just give us a call. Give us a call, and I'll do everything I can to go there. And if I do go to Texas, you bet your ass I'll give you a big-ass hug, okay? So now back to your question, the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer for prayer. I believe in the power of prayer for prayer. I think that it is enriching. It enriches yourself. It enriches you. It reminds you of your connection to something greater than yourself. I believe in that power of prayer. And you're right, things like the Global Prayer Project, and I've said this a million times, I think it's amazing that like-minded people get together and they do share in a prayer, a visualized prayer. And afterwards, I say, go live that prayer. You can't just pray for peace. You got to be peace. And this goes back. We've done these shows where I talk about people, for some reason in your religious and spiritual brain, you suspend rationality. And we need to recognize what this is. And prayer is one of those things. Prayer is one of those things. It's pretty interesting how your brain works. So listen, hear me out for a second. So let's say you go to the doctor and your doctor's like, hey, listen, you're a little overweight. You gotta, I don't like what I'm seeing in your health. We've got to change this. Now, if you came to me and I said, oh, don't forget to wish for good health. Wish for good health. You'd think I'm ridiculous. You would know there would be 0% of you that think that wishing for good health is going to help you. But if you just change the word wish, exchange that word for the word pray, and instead of me saying wish for good health, which you would think is ridiculous, I say pray for good health, suddenly just a word didn't make it so ridiculous anymore. Even though nothing changed but the word, doesn't make it so ridiculous anymore. And then depending on your own spiritual or religious beliefs, you go from a 0% of you that thinks that wishing would help to anywhere from, 1% to 100% belief that praying would. And that's what happens. What's interesting about how we process information in our regular brain compared to how we process it when it has something to do with something religious or spiritual. The example I give is a perfect example. Wish for good health. If someone said, hey, we're going to get together and wish for good health, you'd say, get out of here. That's not going to happen. We need to go diet and exercise. Wish for good health. You guys are crazy. But if they say, let's get together and pray for good health, you will be there. You will be there, and there'll be a part of you that believes it's going to help. That's just how you process information differently. That's just how that works. So prayer, prayer is aligned for me with hope. I think hope is a great thing. Hope can get you past things. Prayer can get you back things. Prayer can feed hope, just like wishing can feed hope. It can do it. And I think it's a great way to feed, to get that little boost of something. Sometimes in life, you need that little boost of something, and I understand it, but it can't be the substance of your life. It could be that little boost. It's kind of like college kids. You know, it's the time of year that I talk to a lot of college kids. And if some of you remember being in college, some of you went through this in college, but you hear a lot of cramming for tests and studying, and the kids get tired, and college kids, they love their caffeine, don't they? They'll have caffeine pills that'll keep them awake so they can study all night. They'll have, you know, extra coffee. They have those sodas and those sports drinks that just, they have like tons and tons of caffeine, and it wakes you up and it energizes you. It keeps you awake for hours and keeps you alert for hours, whatever it is. And those things, they will serve a purpose. If you need to stay awake, that'll boost you and keep you awake for the time you need to stay awake, whatever it is. And you see college kids do that, but you tell all those college kids, that'll work. It'll keep you awake for a little while, but you can't live off of that. That can't be your meal. That can't be how you eat. It may boost you. It makes a good booster, but it makes poor nourishment, poor nutrition. To me, hope and prayer is that. It is a great boost. It has its purpose. I think it keeps you centered. It serves its purpose. However, it is bad nourishment. When I was in high school and I was failing all my tests, I'm sure I both wished and prayed that I would pass tests, and I didn't. Had I only studied and paid attention, I would. Had I studied and paid attention, I would. So we need to know. We need to know what roles these things play. And the role that this in particular plays, is recognizing, and I think that all of this kind of goes into that, is recognizing your humanity. Recognizing your humanity. And saying, you know what? Prayer is a great way to stay connected and stay centered. Prayer is a great way to keep focused on what I want and what I hope for. Prayer is a great way to spiritualize and enhance my wishes. And I would agree with you 100%. But you're not going to lose, you're not going to be healthier, you're not going to lose weight praying. You're going to do that by making good decisions. You're not going to improve your relationship by praying and wishing. You're going to improve it by increasing conversation or paying attention to what the other person wants and meeting and respecting each other's needs. That's how you're going to improve your relationship. You're not going to improve it praying or wishing. You're not going to, if your door is broken in your home and you need a new door or need to fix that door, neither of which are going to be accomplished by praying or wishing. You can pray and be grateful in that prayer and pray and be centered in that prayer, and the prayer might knock down and knock away and subdue the stress of having a broken door, but that door is not going to be fixed until you fix it. And we know this rationally, and I know there's some people out there still, while I'm saying this, are coming up with a million reasons and are going to send me a bunch of bullshit stories about how prayer did fix a door once and all this nonsense, and I understand your need to want that to be true. But we know, that's coming from that part of your brain I was telling you. You process this somewhere else in your brain, and you get very insulted. You get very insulted when I mention this, and I'm not attacking you at all. But let me give you another example of how we process things in different areas. Let's say you're choking. We're in a restaurant and you're choking. You're at the table next to me and you're choking. Do you want me to perform the Heimlich maneuver or do you want me to say a prayer for you? Which one do you prefer? Now you know the answer. Don't try and think about a way around this. You know the answer. The only thing that's going to get that food unstuck is by me doing the Heimlich maneuver. The prayer will not help that food get unstuck. And you know it. And you know it. Yet, when it's presented in a different way, we believe it. And that was the whole point of the masters and gurus and preachers, oh my, show, was to mock. Some people wrote in that I was being condescending and mocking. Yes, some of it is ridiculous, and I will be condescending and mocking because some of it is ridiculous, and you know it's ridiculous. But the reason why you can't fully commit to the truth that it's ridiculous is because you have been conditioned in your mind to be afraid to think that. What if you're wrong? What if the people around you won't be friends with you? There are communities, there are many communities, that you will be ostracized. You will be sometimes even removed from the community for not holding the same ridiculous convictions others hold. So yes, some of it I sounded mocking, and I sounded like I was being condescending, because with some of it I was. Some of it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous when it's the standard you place on your life. I don't think that it's ridiculous that you believe it. I don't think that it's ridiculous that you respect it. I don't think that it's ridiculous that you follow it. I don't think that it's ridiculous that you raise your kids on it. I don't think any of that, nor does any of that interest me, nor do I think it's any place of mine to tell you that you can't. What I think is ridiculous is when you make it the standard for your human life and then feel the frustration and ramifications of it and let other people sell you nonsense that they're not following. And that's what this whole show is. This whole show is saying, listen, for millennia, masters and gurus and preachers, oh my, have been selling you nonsense that they don't follow. They don't follow it. Don't you see that? They don't. How many more people do you need to see being caught in their lies? It is an unsustainable life. Look at this woman. Look at this woman. I tweeted this story. I forget where it was. Maybe it was. I don't even want to guess. There was this woman. I tweeted this story a while ago. There's this woman. She saw in some movie or some guru that said that you could just live off sunlight. You could just live off sunlight. And I'm sure he didn't just say it like that. I'm sure there was a whole system to it and a realization and then a hundred bullshit stories that go with it. Gurus, preachers, and masters are famous for the bullshit story that no one can verify. They're famous for, just with prayer and meditation, someone's cancer disappeared. And just with prayer and meditation, suddenly they got a check for $100,000 out of nowhere. And those stories are all 100% bullshit. Unsubstantiated stories that they know your believing mind will accept. They know your believing mind will accept it because they're using words. Like I said, if I said, hey, wish for good health, you'd say, you're ridiculous. If I said pray for good health, you said, oh, okay, thanks. It's the words that makes it get processed in a different part of the brain. It's a sleight of hand that has been used by magicians and crooks all for as far as time goes back. It's the sleight of hand, but what they're doing is a sleight of word. It's a sleight of word. So this woman who I'm sure saw all these stories and you can connect with the earth and just live off the sunlight, man, and you can do that. And guess what happened? Turns out you can't. And she says, And guess what? She's dead. Guess what? She's dead. You know why she's dead? Because she tried to live off sunlight. That's why she's dead. Don't you know this? Don't you know that we're not in those ages anymore? We understand how your brain works and how it doesn't work. And we know enough about the human body to know that you can't live off sunlight. But she got told, and I'm sure it cost her money and this and that, and she thought she'd get this new spiritual awakeness if she would just fast, man. And she's dead. Look at the tragedy. There was a motivational speaker, wasn't there? Some people died at some sort of retreat or something, right? And those are in abundance. Those kind of things. People who want to put you in extreme heat. People who want to go and fasting. And people, those things are all in abundance. And they'll say you're going to feel more connected with God. And I don't disagree with them. I believe that when you fast, you feel more connected with God. I believe that when you're put in a hot room and your body starts to fear its own death, you're going to feel a closer connection with God. I believe that when you take certain journeys and take certain drugs, you feel a connection with God. I believe that. You know why I believe that? I know it to be true. Do you know why I know it to be true? Because science tells me so. Your mind creates chemicals. One in particular that's called dimethyltryptamine. And this dimethyltryptamine, which is believed to be created in the pineal gland, gets processed in your brain. And the people who process this in their brain feel euphoric. They feel very much what we feel when someone explains to us what a near-death experience feels like. They feel that. They feel the presence of something greater than them. They feel a connection, sometimes conversation with otherworldly beings, spiritual beings, angels. They feel, often they see themselves floating above their body. This is what this drug does. So we know this. They didn't know that 2,000 years ago when people were fasting. But you know what else we know about this drug? This drug is created in your brain when your body's dying. When your body fears it's dying. When your fear or actual dying is sending all kinds of chemicals and signals to your brain saying, holy shit, we're dying. It creates this chemical. Now, the reason why it creates the chemical, who knows? Maybe that's to help in transition, to help you cope with this information. I don't know why it creates it, but we do know that it creates it. They didn't know that 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. They just noticed that when they fast, when you deprive your body of food, you feel closer to God. Well, yeah, you sure do, because you're depriving your body of the food it needs and nourishment it needs to stay alive. And it starts panicking and freaks out because it thinks it's dying. And it creates this chemical. And yes, you have this experience. That's why it's happening. So yes, you could do that, or you could throw yourself in a heated room where it's so hot your body starts freaking out and thinking it's dying because it's dehydrated and hot, and you'll have that experience. You can deprive yourself of food and have that experience. You can be in a life-threatening situation and have that experience. That experience is no longer a mystery. But as I said in the first show, 100% of the masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, 100% of their ability to get into your mind is based on your ignorance. They know that you're not reading scientific journals. They know this. They want you to stay ignorant. There was just a discussion here in the USA. They're having a political race for president, and our country seems so much dogmatic, so much more dogmatically religious than I remember. I don't know if this is something new or maybe just as an adult I'm paying more attention to politics, but it's so dogmatic and so one guy was kind of mocking education, and then he said very candidly, I mean, this guy was being a appreciative, I guess he was being honest is what I'm saying. He said, you know, all I know is that, you know, religious people go into colleges. He wasn't really anti-college overtly, but you could tell he kind of was. And he said, it's not that I'm against education. It just seems to me that education doesn't have a good effect on religion. If you get 60% someone who goes into college as a religious person, they'll usually come out of college a non-religious person. And that this person was saying, well, that means the people who are the professors and stuff are teaching them not to be religious and blah, blah, blah. But I disagree with him. I just think the more educated you are, I think that there is an inverse relationship between education and superstition. Don't forget, when someone else believes in something silly, like knocking on wood does something, or if you break a mirror, if they believe that nonsense, it's called superstition. But when it's something that you believe, it's called religion. Don't forget, again, words are everything. But there is an inverse relationship with education and superstition. The more educated you are, the more you understand history, the more you understand science, biology, etc., the less likely you are to be superstitious. And they bank on that. When the gurus that you see, they know that you are filled with hope. They know that you will pray for good health instead of being healthy. They know this. We've shown as humans for years and years and years that we'll do this. We've shown that we'll knock on wood and actually think it's going to help. We know that we know this. That something happens in the brain that keeps us doing this. So they know that if they put you in a situation, you will feel closer to God. They know that if you fast with them, go with me on my 5-day fast or 4-day fast, and you will feel, you starve yourself with me. Yes, we're both going to have that that feeling, euphoric feeling. And then you're going to say, oh, Steve's an amazing guru. I went on a fast with him, and I really connected with God. And the guru will be banking on the fact that you don't know that he just played a physiological trick on you. That he deprived your body of what it needed. It freaked out and created a chemical that it creates when your body thinks it's dying. The guru will bank on your ignorance. It will bank on your ignorance. It will bank on the fact that you don't pay attention, that you go into your church, you go into your temple, you go to your service, and they will tell you that money, if you want money, then you have to pray and you got to create blah, 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 whatever it is that they're going to tell you. And then they'll pass around a basket and tell you to pay your tithing. Well, if money is not important and money comes from God, why are you giving me the basket? Why don't you tell God to put out the basket in the middle of a field and tell God to fill it? Because they know that that's not how it works. They know that if they don't get you to give them money, they don't have money. Well, why isn't that the faith? They'll tell, oh, don't worry, you're having financial problems. Just pay your tithing and have the faith that God will provide. Well, then why the hell are you giving me this basket? why aren't you giving away the money you have and you're tithing, you're sharing your money, and then you hope and pray that God will provide? You know why you're not doing it? Because you know that if you don't collect money from me, the lights in this temple are going to turn off, and we're going to not be able to afford it anymore, and we can't afford our flyers, and we can't afford this stuff, and we can't afford the sound system, and we can't afford to fix the roof. Because you know that that's true, but they know that we will not be perceptive to that. We will not be perceptive to them telling us, the guru will tell you that it's important not to have an ego, but the guru won't. They hope that you don't point out the fact that they have a website and a Facebook and a Twitter, and every picture, every book they have has their picture on the cover, and that they're in this picture and that picture, and that they even call themselves a guru or a master. Are you a master for real? How do you have the audacity to call yourself a master of anything? How embarrassing. You should be embarrassed to call yourself a master of anything. But they bank on the fact that not only will we not notice this, but we'll celebrate them for it. Oh, look at Master so-and-so. Look at Guru so-and-so. They're amazing. Look what they do in their life. What do you mean what they do in their life? They live awesome lives because they get a bunch of people to give them money to buy their books, to go to their seminars? How's that awesome? You know what's awesome? You're freaking awesome. You have issues in your life, and you don't have people racing to give you money, and you don't have people racing and hanging on every word and buying your this and buying your that and believing you're this. You have a tough job. You have challenges in your family. You have challenges in your health. You have trouble getting out of your own way. Your life, maybe you made some bad decisions you're still paying for, but you're still here. You're still walking. You're still talking, and you're still doing your best. You're freaking awesome. How the hell are they awesome? How are they more awesome than you? You're handing them things. They're getting paid. They're flying first class back and forth. Your car breaks down every other day, but you're still showing up to work. You're awesome. Don't you dare buy into the nonsense they're trying to sell you. You can celebrate their gift. You can celebrate their words. You can celebrate their messages. But don't you dare for a second believe that they are a master because they told you they are, or that they're a guru because they told you they are. Because some of them, I would say most of them, you put them in the tough situation you're in, and they will fall down and cry. You're awesome. You are awesome. So as we lean into the next day, the next year, the coming awakening, whatever it is, why don't you awaken to the fact that a lot of the things that we have believed and been being taught for years are simply outdated information at this point. And that, yes, there's beautiful things to learn in our scriptures. There's beautiful things to learn in our traditions. But they aren't the gauge of science. They're not the gauge of humanity. I think that when we couple these things, when we marry these things and say, hey, how about some old tradition upgraded with some new information? I think that couples it. You don't have to deny whatever it is that you believe. I told you, I don't not believe in a God or a universal order. I've just had an updated version of it. And for me, a more powerful version of it. When you combine your secular knowledge, your sciences, with your spiritual experiences, your God, when you combine them, you don't just get one piece. You don't get the how of science. You don't just get the why of God. You get them both, the how and the why, and you see that dancing of structure, that dancing of synchronicity, that dancing of life that only happens when you marry these two things. Two things that aren't enemies but instead complement each other. They fill in each other's gaps. And when you take that and you move forward in your life being nourished by that complete meal, now you have a complete meal. You have the why and the how. You're not just focused on the how. You're not just focused on the why, but you have the complete source of nourishment, three-dimensional, complete on all sides, as Dr. King would say, complete on all sides. When you have that complete picture and you're nourished by that, some incredible things happen. I think it's incredibly one-sided to only live by science. I think it's incredibly one-sided to only live by religion or spirituality or God. But when you balance the both, when you balance them both and realize that this human experience requires that you balance both, to keep your sanity, to keep living happy, to align yourself with that happiness, that success, that excellence, to live this, requires both. It requires both. And when you have both, you start getting rid of that frustration that the one-sided living brings you. And you realize that, you know what? Old dogmatic thoughts and opinions that the masters, gurus, and preachers, oh my, aren't even living, those are great for marketing. They're great to have people buy your magic beans and your prayer cloths. They're great to get people to be afraid enough to continuously give you money for fear that if they don't give you money, they either go to hell or they're not as aligned, or you help them become more spiritual. As long as you keep teaching people that, and as long as you keep feeling that yourself, you're going to feel empty. There will always be an emptiness, because you're trying to be what you already are. You're already spiritual. You're already abundant. You're already beautiful. You're already powerful. You already have unlimited potential. You're already healthy. All of these things, you are already that. All you have to do is live accordingly. Live as though you're healthy. Live as though you're abundant. Live as though you're spiritual. Live as though you're happy. Live as though you want peace. Live as though you want success. Live accordingly. Have that complete meal of your spirituality, and have that complete meal of your spirituality and your humanity. And you'll experience all those things. People who ask me what my secret is as far as that goes, it's exactly that. It's exactly that. I'll pray, I'll meditate, I'll do them my own way, but I'll pray and I'll meditate, and then I'll go out there and I'll live it. I understand that as prayer, when I pray and meditate, I'm talking to myself. I'm reminding myself. I'm keeping clarity within my mind, my body, my soul. And when I open my eyes or I stop praying or I stop meditating, I go out there and I talk to the universe. Maybe you call it God, maybe you call it whatever. But it's in that conversation with the universe that things happen before me. So I can pray and meditate that I want to be healthier. And when I'm done, I got to go out there and make choices that are healthier. It's only then that you are having a complete conversation. And when you're having a complete conversation, this universe is listening. And that's the only time it's listening. So you want to get rid of your frustration. You want to be no longer subject, victim to these marketing gurus and preachers and masters, oh my. Then awaken to the beauty and the power that's within you. Pray and meditate, focus and center. Stay centered on your abundance, on your power, on your beauty, on your 100% spiritual beingness. Then open your eyes, get out there, and unapologetically live it, not with your words, but with your actions. Be what it is you want to be, and you will be it. That's how this works. Now, when you're doing so, don't forget this New Yorker loves you. Folks, this show went fast. You're listening to Empowered Living. Check out stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.